RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voy Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Trade Ministry announced 4 regulations to improve competitiveness. Indonesia becomes seaweed producer in the world. Indonesian students have dormitories thanks to Azhar Grand Sheikh. Now the news in detail. Trade Minister Thomas Lembong has struck out 4 traditional ministerial decrees as a part of the government's first deregulation package, which is aimed to increase Indonesia's industrial competitiveness. It is also to provide more business opportunities to boost Indonesia's economic growth. Lembong on Tuesday said he has signed 9 new regulations, which essentially annuls 4 previous decrees and revises 5 others. The annulled regulations include ministerial regulation on the import of cloves, optical disc, sodium triphosphate, and tires. Lembong also revised regulations which regulates import identifier numbers, horticultural import, national standard on goods and services, inter-island trade and refined sugars, as well as a decree that makes it mandatory to label goods in Indonesia. The government is preparing a further 26 revisions as a part of its second deregulation package, which will be signed in phases. Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fishery held an exhibition of Indonesian marine potential, especially seaweed, in Yogyakarta. The 3-day exhibition, which took place from 28th to 30th September 2015 as part of International Seaweed Business Forum, or SeaFex. Director General of Fishery Competitiveness of Maritime and Fishery Products, Nilanto Prabowo, in Jakarta on Tuesday, September 26th, I should say September 29, 2015, explained Indonesia is currently become the biggest seaweed producer country in the world. The total production from Indonesia has exceeded other seaweed producer countries, namely China and the Philippines, and the national seaweed production in 2014 reached to 10.2 million tons. The position today, our dried seaweed production currently reaches 10 million. The production of seaweed Indonesia has exceeded 2 main seaweed producer countries, namely China and the Philippines. We have surpassed them both. Our typical seaweed are mostly demanded by many advanced and high-tech industries from several countries, mainly from Europe, America, and Japan. Nilanto Prabowo said, almost all countries throughout the world currently have a big hope to Indonesia, since Indonesia produces cottony seaweed, which become the world's leading types. Moreover, the climate condition make the archipelago as the place for breeding of 45% of the world's seaweed species. Nilanto Prabowo added, the Ministry of Maritime and Fishery will build 4 seaweed warehouses in East Nusa Tenggara and Sulawesi in 2016. The availability of warehouses is expected to support Indonesian position as the world's biggest seaweed producer countries. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution has said that the first economic policy package announced by the government on September 9th will not stop layoffs because it focuses on investment and property, which will not produce short-term results. He said at the State Palace on Tuesday, according to Danmin, in the first economic policy package, a number of new regulations were introduced to replace the old ones that were thought to be obstructing business and investment. With the introduction of the new regulation, the purchasing power of low-income people is expected to increase as the prices of key commodities will be controlled. He said that certain industries like garments and others that use imported raw materials had laid off their employees because they could not afford the operational costs. On Tuesday, the government launched the second economic policy package. The construction of Indonesian students' dormitory at Al-Azhar University of Cairo that is currently nearing completion is a form of great concern of Grand Sheikh of Azhar to Indonesia. It was announced by Education and Culture Attaché of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, Fahmi Lukman, while visiting the construction of the dormitory building on Tuesday.
Dan teman-teman harus ingat, yang diberi untuk ditempatkan di kampus pusat ini hanya Indonesia dan yang kedua
only Indonesia and United Arab Emirates are allowed to build dormitories in this large campus. Actually, the area is available for 18 buildings, but we are not able to build all of the buildings, especially in the current economic situation of Indonesia. Other Asian countries got no permit to build dormitories. This is a concern of the Grand Sheikh of Azhar to Indonesia.
Fahmi explained that his side is currently negotiating with the Grand Sheikh of Azhar regarding the management of Indonesian student dormitory. According to him, to improve the mastery of language and lectures of Indonesian students, the Grand Sheikh Azhar promised to put prospective professor assistant of Al-Azhar to accompany them in the dormitories. Fahmi believes Indonesian students who have graduated from Al-Azhar become reliable human resources and are able to compete with workforces from other countries. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian government needs to provide more land and expand coffee plantations in order to be able to achieve its target of surpassing Brazil as the world's largest coffee supplier. It was stated by the Union of Indonesian Coffee Exporters Associations, GAIKI, escorted by the Jakarta Post on Tuesday. GAIKI Secretary General Is Darmawan Asrikan said the government needed to provide more land to grow coffee and intensify production if it wanted to beat Brazil, which produces around 2.7 million tons of coffee beans and export over 1.8 million tons a year. The Trade Ministry's Director General for National Export Department, Nus Nuzulia Ishak, said the government aimed to make the country the largest coffee supplier in the world, particularly its well-known specialty coffees. She said Indonesia must become the world's first-ranked coffee supplier. Indonesia, which produces between 650,000 to 750,000 tons of coffee beans a year, is currently the fourth largest coffee producer after Brazil, Vietnam, and Colombia, according to data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Constitutional Court MK Judge Patrialis Akbar on Tuesday said that he will not agree to allow single candidate election in the 2015 regional elections. Upon delivering his dissenting opinion on the MK ruling, he said that a decision to accept single candidate will put the entire election process at risk of legal manipulations. According to Akbar, by ruling in favor of allowing single candidate to compete, MK has strayed too far into the realm of the judiciary. As such, Akbar refuses to accommodate should MK rules to allow a referendum to be held in place of the agreed election process or if it rules to allow solo pairs to run in the upcoming regional elections. The existence of single candidate should be judged by the election's most basic principles. Elections in Indonesia should be direct, inclusive, confidential, honest, and fair. Allowing single candidate pair to compete essentially eliminates competition in the whole process. It is known that Akbar was the only MK judge that delivered a dissenting opinion
and MK ultimately ruled in favor of allowing Seoul candidate pairs to compete in the elections through a referendum mechanism. Incumbent Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama is faced with an increasing number of challengers for the 2017 gubernatorial election. Former Youth and Sport Minister Adiaksa Daud, who has been nominated as a gubernatorial candidate, met Ahok on Tuesday, expressing his readiness to become a candidate. Currently, at least three people have expressed their wish to take part in the race. Adiaksa was nominated by a number of figures in a declaration on September 20th. Previously, Gerindra Party nominated the deputy chairman of its party advisory council, Sandiaga Uno, as the party's Jakarta gubernatorial candidate. Another of Basuki's challengers is Marco Kusumawijaya, an urban expert who has declared himself an independent candidate. Adiaksa praised Ahok for his consistency in promoting good governance and a clean government in the city bureaucracy. If he was elected as governor, he would continue the programs that Ahok had initiated. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Trade Ministry announced four regulations to improve competitiveness. Indonesian becomes seaweed producer in the world. Indonesian students have dormitories thanks to Azhar Green Sheikh. That was the news.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary entitled The World Ready to Work Together to End Syrian Conflict. Listener, a series of General Assembly sessions are being held at the United Nations headquarters in New York. The topic that most attracts the world's attention is the Syrian conflict. One of the major issues highlighted in this year's session is overcoming the wave of refugees who fled from violence in Syria. The General Assembly also discussed how the international community can contribute to overcome the crisis that has lasted for 5 years. The situation in Syria is getting unstable. Russia reportedly managed to put the full force with military equipment there, thanks to the support of the Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Russia argued it wants to help Assad in fighting against ISIS and other insurgent groups who have dominated several Syrian territories. Meanwhile, the United States and France have also launched airstrikes against ISIS terrorists. The military action only made things worse. Even it was suspected that the majority of refugees are actually fleeing from Assad's forces instead of fearing from ISIS forces. Interesting developments took place in the UN General Assembly this time. In his speech, US President Barack Obama acknowledged that the US has now realized his mistake in Iraq. Hundreds of thousands of troops and billions of dollars that have been poured was not able to ensure the stability in the country. According to Obama, if the Americans cooperate with other countries, in accordance with international principles, those efforts will likely be fruitful. Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin submitted a proposal on the UN military intervention in Syria. He proposed the formation of an international coalition, including Russia, the US, and Iran, to defeat the ISIS terrorist group. Putin likens this to the international coalition against Hitler in the World War II. On the other hand, Putin's proposal requires Syrian President Bashar al-Assad continue to rule until Syria is stable enough to manage the power transition. On the other hand, the Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, who is also an ally of Damascus government, said his country is ready to help to tread the road to democracy in Syria, while the French President Francois Hollande expressed readiness to cooperate with Iran and Russia, but will explain to them that the path to a solution doesn't have to go through Bashar al-Assad. The leaders of the world seems to have started to compromise to resolve the Syrian crisis. Indeed, there are differences about President Bashar al-Assad. However, the cue to compromise can be a starting point of the way out to the Syrian crisis. And listener, that was commentary.
Today in History.
a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from September 30th movement. The September 30th movement, or widely known as G30 SPKI, occurred on September 30th, 1965, where six army generals and one Indonesian officer, along with several other people, were killed in a coup tragedy that was blamed on the Indonesian Communist Party members. The Indonesian Communist Party, PKI, is the third largest communist party in the world after China and the Soviet Union. Until in 1965, its members amounted to more than 20 million people, including members of youth movements, trade union and farmer movement, the women's movement or Gerwani, artists, writers and humanists as well. Due to the movement of the September 30th, finally the old order regime fell, followed by the fall of Sukarno, the first president of Indonesia. September 30th, 2005, the blasphemy of Prophet Muhammad published in the Danish newspaper Jyllands-Posten. Controversy of the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad began after 12 cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, the last prophet in Islam, published in the Jyllands-Posten newspaper on September 30th, 2005. Six of 12 cartoons were reprinted in Egyptian newspaper El Fakr at 30 of October 2005 to accompany an article that strongly criticized the action of Posten but has not received the most attention outside Denmark. Finally, in December 2005, when the organization of the Islamic Conference began to express its opposition, the controversy waned in the world. Most of the cartoons published in many other newspapers in Europe, as well as in New Zealand and Jordan. The teachings of Islam prohibits the depiction of the Prophet Muhammad in order to prevent the cult. Jyllands-Posten itself has apologized for offending Muslims, but it maintained that they have the right to publish the cartoons, arguing that Islamic fundamentalism cannot control anything that can be published in the Danish media. The last is the 7.6 Richter scale earthquake shook West Sumatra, Indonesia on September 30, 2009. Earthquake in the west coast of Sumatra occurred off the coast of West Sumatra, about 50 kilometers northwest of Padang, the capital city, on September 30, 2009 at 17:16 p.m. West Indonesia time. The earthquake caused severe damage in some areas such as Padang Pariaman, Padang City, Pesisir Selatan Regency, Pariaman City, Bukit Tinggi, Padang Panjang, Agam, Solok, and Pasaman Barat. According to data from Coordinating Unit for Disaster Management, 1,117 people were killed by the quake, spread across three cities and four districts in West Sumatra. Severely injured reached about 1,214 people, about 1,688 people slightly injured, and one lost. Caused by the earthquake, it was estimated at more than 135,400 houses damaged, 65,380 buildings were damaged, and 78,600 houses damaged. Thank you. was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Voice Green. In today's edition, we'll talk about Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister at G77 and China endorses the 2030 agenda implemented. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi at the 77 group or G77 and China ensured that the 2030 agenda of the sustainable development could be fully implemented. Minister Retno said realization effort and the implementation of 2030 agenda needs a strong commitment from each country to deliberate the principle of capacity difference, the level and development priority of each country. That was said by Minister Retno Marsudi through her press release received by RRI World Service in Jakarta on Saturday. The statement was conveyed by Minister Retno Marsudi before 134 foreign affairs ministers of G77 member countries in an annual meeting in New York on Thursday led by South African Foreign Minister. Minister Retno Marsudi also emphasized the importance of G77 countries to continuously support the establishment of global governance system that will be more accommodate the interests and representation of developing countries. Especially, according to Minister Retno Marsudi, in the decision-making process on the International Financial Organization. In addition, Minister Retno reminded the G77 to utilize solidarity and commitment of its member countries to support the development of in various global conferences, such as the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change or the United Nations Climate Change Convention in Paris next November 2015. Agenda of 2030 to the Sustainable Development is ratified by head of states at the Summit Conference of Development Agenda Endorsement of Post-2015 at the United Nations Headquarters, New York, on September 25th to 27th, 2015. The agenda is an important document that will become guidance of a global development effort for the next 15 years. The main purposes of the Agenda 2030 is to eradicate the world poverty. One of a concrete and the most important commitment in the global agenda is to build a mechanism or facility to the development of capacity, technical assistance, as well as technology transfer for the developing countries. The Group 77 or G77 was built in 1964. And as the biggest discussion group that fight for the development interests of economy and social of the developing countries in the United Nations Forum. G77 consisted of 134 countries and put its strength in their unity and solidarity. Indonesia has served as chairman of G77 in 1998. The 13th meeting of G77 Minister of Foreign Affairs in New York resulted the ministerial declaration that will become the basic of the group in facing negotiations at various UN forums of economy and development within the next 1 year. Well, listener, that was Voice Green.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today, Wednesday, September 29th, 2015. We begin with Kompas, which in its headline wrote, "Investment climate improved." The government improved investment climate of the country by shortening the time of investment license process in the industrial area. As for increasing US dollar supply to Indonesia, the government offered incentive for the exporters. The efforts of improving investment climate were included in the Phase 2 economic policy package on Tuesday, September 29th. Listener, we move on to Media Indonesia, with September 2 package is more effective. As the government promised, the second national economic stimulus package was published. Unlike the September 1 package, in September 2 package, the government were more focused on the licensing simplification and export exchange security. Before announcing the second package, President Joko Widodo met a number of businessmen incorporated in Indonesian Employers Association or APindo in the State Palace, Jakarta on Tuesday. Meanwhile, Republika wrote in its headline, "Mina tragedy victim began difficult to identify." Saudi Arabia Hajj Committee decided to identify the remains of Mina tragedy victims through fingerprint. This decision was based on the emerging difficulty in identifying the remains that had been 5 days post-mortem. The head of Indonesian Hajj Pilgrimage Committee for Mecca Desk, Arsyad Hidayat, on Tuesday said that the identification access through fingerprint had been open since Monday evening. Listener, we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia. In its headlines, wrote, "Investment simplified." The government published another economic policy package, dubbed Phase 2 Policy Package. In the new package, the government focused on issuing policies that will ease the investment. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, said, in the Phase 2 Policy Package, the government tends to limit the amount of policies to be announced. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Trade Minister Thomas Lembong has struck out 4 traditional ministerial decrees as a part of the government's first deregulation package, which is aimed to increase Indonesia's industrial competitiveness. Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fishery held an exhibition of Indonesian marine potential, especially seaweed, in Yogyakarta. The 3-day exhibition, which took place from 28th to 30th of September 2015 as part of International Seaweed Business Forum, or CIFEX. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution has said that the first economic policy package announced by the government on September 9th will not stop layoffs because it focuses on investment and property, which will not produce short-term results. The construction of Indonesian Students' Dormitory at Al-Azhar University of Cairo that is currently nearing completion is a form of a great concern of Grand Sheikh of Azhar to Indonesia. It was announced by Education and Culture Attaché of Indonesian Embassy in Cairo, Egypt, Fahmi Lukman, while visiting the construction of the dormitory building on Tuesday. The Indonesian government needs to provide more land and expand coffee plantations in order to be able to achieve its target of surpassing Brazil as the world's largest coffee supplier. It was stated by the Union of Indonesian Coffee Exporters Association, GAIKI, escorted by the Jakarta Post on Tuesday. Constitutional Court Judge Patrialis Akbar on Tuesday said that he will not agree to allow single candidate election in the 2015 regional elections. Upon delivering his dissenting opinion on the MK ruling, he said that a decision to accept single candidate will put the entire election process at risk of legal manipulations. Incumbent Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama is faced with an increasing number of challengers for the 2017 gubernatorial election. Former Youth and Sport Minister Adiaksa Daud, who has been nominated as a gubernatorial candidate, met Ahok on Tuesday, expressing his readiness to become a candidate. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Babarit Ceremony in West Java Province. So stay tuned. Listener, on September 27, 2015, there was a festivity at a Regent Hall in Kuningan, West Java. Babarit ceremony was held at the hall to celebrate the 517th anniversary of Kuningan City. Babarit is a traditional ceremony which is usually held by Sundanese people, the native people of West Java province, to commemorate the anniversary of their homeland. Through this procession, the local people express their gratitude by presenting crops and parading before eating together in happiness situation. Babarit derives from a word ngababaritan, namely thanksgiving and praying for pregnant mothers. When there is a pregnant woman in a family, this family holds ngababaritan ceremony. Now, Babarit is well known as thanksgiving for homeland. Babarit is Sundanese culture which has been well preserved until now. Not only in Kuningan, the ceremony is still often held in other regions in West Java. Babarit is held annually before or after harvesting rice. Besides that, it is also held to commemorate the anniversary of a city or certain region. Listener, people in West Java have different ways to celebrate Babarit ceremony. There are people who enliven this event by performing art attraction or sport competitions. But the point is they hold the ceremony to avoid their hamlets or villages from disaster, as well as to express gratitude for the harvest. Because of that, this event is always initiated by praying together. After praying together, they hold various Sundanese traditional arts. Like Babarit ceremony to celebrate Kuningan City anniversary recently, four dances were performed at the Regent Hall. Those dances symbolize parts of values and the local wisdom of Sundanese people who are always grateful and thoughtful in treating the nature and work together. At the end of the dance, the Regent together with the local people dance together. Listener, after dancing together, Babarit ceremony ended by parading the crops. The local people tried to grab the crops to be eaten together. In this event, the people wore Sundanese typical clothes. The men wore pants and black kampret clothes, which become daily clothes of Sundanese men, while the women wore kebaya or traditional long-sleeved blouse and also had scarves. And listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Memancing Ikan. Memancing Ikan, or in English means going fishing. So stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and also expressions that relate to our today's topic. I will say them two times slowly and you can repeat after me. Memancing ikan. Memancing ikan, which means going fishing. Hari Minggu. Hari Minggu, which means on Sunday. Waktu luang. Waktu luang, which means spare time. Menemani. Menemani, which means to accompany. Ikan. Ikan, which means fish. Ikan gurame. Ikan gurame, which means gurame fish. Ikan bandeng. Ikan bandeng, which means milk fish. Berangkat. Berangkat, which means to leave. Jam 9 pagi. Jam 9 pagi, which means at 9 a.m. Jemput. Jemput, which means to pick up. Rumahmu. Rumahmu, which means your house. Tunggu. Tunggu, which means to wait. Well, listener, here is an example of a conversation between Danu or A and Aris or B. I will say the sentence two times slowly and you can repeat after me. A. Hai Aris, hari Minggu ada waktu luang? Hai Aris, hari Minggu ada waktu luang? Which means, Hai Aris, do you have spare time on Sunday? B. Ya, ada apa? Ya, ada apa? Which means, yes, what's up? A. Apakah kamu bisa menemani saya memancing? Apakah kamu bisa menemani saya memancing? Which means, can you accompany me to go fishing? B. Bisa. Ikan apa yang akan kita pancing? Bisa. Ikan apa yang akan kita pancing? Which means, sure, what kind of fish do you want to catch? A. Ikan gurame, ikan nila, ikan mas, dan ikan bandeng. Ikan gurame, ikan nila, ikan mas, dan ikan bandeng. Which means gurame fish, parrot fish, goldfish, and milk fish. B. Aku suka ikan bandeng. Aku suka ikan bandeng. Which means I like milk fish. Kita memancing di kolam ikan bandeng saja. Kita memancing di kolam ikan bandeng saja. Which means, we go fishing at the milkfish pond. A. Baiklah, hari Minggu kita berangkat jam 9 pagi. Baiklah, hari Minggu kita berangkat jam 9 pagi. Which means, okay, we'll leave at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Saya akan ke rumahmu untuk menjemputmu. Saya akan ke rumahmu untuk menjemputmu. Which means, I'll go to your house to pick you up. B. Baiklah, saya tunggu kamu di rumah hari Minggu. Baiklah, saya tunggu kamu di rumah hari Minggu. Which means, okay, I'll wait for you at my house on Sunday. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening and we'll meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition will feature an Indonesian band, namely Cassandra. We'll invite you to listen to the first song by Cassandra Band entitled tetap menjadi milikmu. Listener, Cassandra Band was firstly formed in Jakarta in 2009, consisted of three personnel, namely Anna, the vocalist, Choki, the bassist, and Inos, the guitarist. They want to offer the different theme of love with the songs they're composed. After successfully released their first single entitled Tetap Menjadi Milikmu in February 2011, the personnels of Cassandra Band plan to continue productively with other singles that will be launched as soon as possible. Before they take the name Cassandra for their band, Anna and friends were firstly used the name Eglo for the band. They have performed in some big cafes in Indonesia, and finally they began to record their songs seriously. They used the name of Cassandra since 2010. The name was taken after it can represent the views of the three personals. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song by Cassandra Ben entitled Kekasih Kedua. With a basic point of sweetie pop music and romantic lyrics, Cassandra Ben is predicted will be able to give a positive energy for Indonesian music industry. It will be strengthened with the characteristic of Anna's vocal. Listener, wherever you are, before we conclude today's music corner, now let's enjoy a song, Cinta Terbaik, from Cassandra Ben. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Ku tak mampu hilangkan wajahmu di hatiku meski malam mengganggu. aku cinta padamu. Aku tak mampu untuk pergi menjauh darimu, meski hatiku ragu. Kau tak di sampingku setiap waktu, ku sadari
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Mengapa ku seperti ini? Harusnya kau bertanya, kemanakah cintaku yang dulu? Bukan ku tak mencoba untuk membahagiakanmu, tetapi kesabaranku ada batasnya.
Jangan lagi kau tangisi, karena ku tak butuh itu. Biar kau mengerti, ku tak pergi. Cinta bukan alasan untuk selalu mengalah, namun cinta justru ada untuk saling berbagi. Dan kamu tak bisa untuk pahami, ku tak bisa menerima dan terus menerima. Ku harus meninggalkanmu, ku harus melupakanmu, ku harus coba pergi bawa rasa sakitku. Jangan lagi kau tangisi, karena ku tak butuh itu. Biar kau mengerti, ku tak pergi. Memang ku akui ku cinta. Kamu, ku harus coba pergi bawa rasa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.